2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. This is a gem. This paragraph is an absolute gem. And the NIV is a very good translation here. Let me read it to you. With this in mind, said the apostle, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The footnote has an alternative, according to the grace of our God and Lord, Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter where the comma comes, where the punctuation is. The very fact that Paul can link God and the Lord Jesus Christ, even if he doesn't exactly say our God and Lord Jesus Christ, the very fact that he puts such names in juxtaposition shows he has no inhibition. Jesus Christ is Lord, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. With this in mind, said the apostle. What in mind? The fact that when we came to Thessalonica and we found you as Jews and pagans and we preached Christ to you, you came to faith. And though Satan attacked, though he used Judaism and paganism to launch bitter attacks against you and bring you into much trial, suffering and affliction, you were strong in faith. You labored, you worked, you turned from idols, you waited for Jesus Christ, and you're growing in this grace, and you're growing in faith, and you're growing in love and perseverance. Yeah. And all the evidence is that you truly are believers, and you're being knit together as one body to the glory of God. And Christ will come back soon, and he will honor you and reward you, and he will restore you into all the glories that he has established for you. He'll bring to you all the glories he has established and bring restitution to those who have been punishing you and persecuting you. And with all this in mind, we constantly pray for you, and so on. Now, he has already said in verse 5 that he knows that they will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And yet he says, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling. He's not a hyper-Calvinist. He's not a fatalist. He prays that it may be so. He's sure that it will be so, but he prays it may be so. And it's his prayer, it's his desire here for these Thessalonians and his encouragement of them, which I think is so precious. This is what I want to see in my own life. This is what I want to do for others. This is what assemblies should be like, ecclesia, the believers. This is the sort of thing that should make us tick. We constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith and so on. What do we have here? He wants them to be sanctified, doesn't he? He wants them to live God-honoring lives. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And he prays for them that God will count them worthy of his calling. In other words, that they will live worthy lives in their private life, their family life, in their assembly life, and amongst the pagans, and amongst the Jews. They will live lives that are worthy of the name of Christ. They will show that they are Christians because they are Christ-like. And more, that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Now, this is an open-ended check. I have no idea, I was going to say, but I have some idea what it might be that they propose or purpose and what works they're doing. But it's an open-ended check. Everything that they want to do for the glory of God, for the furtherance of his cause, for the honor of the name of Christ, for the good of sinners in their salvation and the sanctification of his people, we pray that God, by his power, by his Spirit, may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Now, what is this? Was it that they were trying to reach out amongst their families, their former friends, the pagans, the Jews, and see as many as they could converted to Christ? Were they following the apostles' example and lifting up the name of Christ? Were they going where they could, where they had opportunity to take Christ to sinners, in private meetings, in their homes, in conversations? Were they thinking of other areas where they could go and take the gospel? Were they thinking of needy saints? Were they praying for one another? Were they supporting each other? And whatever it might be. But by faith they were seeing the need, and their purpose, good purpose, and they strove to fulfill that good purpose. Paul says, may the Spirit of God bless you in this and use every effort that you make. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has saved you by his grace through the Lord Jesus. He's equipped you by his Spirit. You're loving each other. You're growing together. We want that to be furthered and furthered and increased more and more. We want you to witness to those who persecute you. We want you to witness to the pagans and to the Jews and to the Romans. And we want you to be a testimony for Christ. And this is what you want. And we pray that God will be glorified through your labors and you'll be glorified in him. Obviously, we want to see sinners converted, and so do you. Obviously, you want to see the saints grow, and so do we. And so we pray that this grace of God, by the Spirit of God, may glorify the Lord Jesus in you and through you and by you, and you be glorified in him, honored and rewarded by Christ for all you do for him. Hebrews 6 tells us that God is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. You see the motive here, the end of the Christian service. Why do we want sinners saved? Well, for their everlasting happiness, yes. But the ultimate glory is the glory of God in Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and by your actions. Unbeliever, why do I want you saved? For your eternal joy and happiness? I do. I don't want you to go to that terrible punishment I spoke about in the previous discourse. I don't want that destruction, that everlasting destruction for you. Surely you don't want it for yourself. I want you to be saved into everlasting bliss, everlasting life. But that in itself is a lesser motive. I want you to be saved for your own good, yes, but for the glory of God. I want another trophy for Jesus Christ. I want the promise of Isaiah 53, God says, he shall see his seed and he'll be exalted in that. That was a promise to him, that God would give him seed, converts, the ones he had died for. And if you will be converted, my friend, it will be for your good. Ultimately, though, it'll be for the glory of God. It'll be another voice raised to the praise of Christ. Christ has saved me. Why do I want you edified, believer? For your own good and to help others, of course, but for the glory of God. But you know, in the glory of God, the glory of Christ, you get glory as well. What a... They talk about the vicious circle. What a rich circle is this. What a pleasant circle is this. I don't know, I'm trying to find the right word. What a glorious circle is this. If I can speak personally, I find this couple of verses, these two verses, such an encouragement to me. And I hope to my friends who pray for me and support me and encourage me in my writing and my preaching and do all they can to make it known. Can you not see the motive here? Can you not see the power here? We have no business behind us. We have no great organization. But we have the power of God. And what's the motive in all this? Why do we lift up Christ? Why do I lift him up in this ministry? So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in us and in those who hear me and those who read my works. That the Lord Jesus may be glorified in us and, of course, those he blesses may feel the glory too. What encouragement is to me? That he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Is it encouragement to you, brother? Believing brother, believing sister. What purpose do you have for Christ? What are your prayers for? What do you desire? God, honor you in it and fulfill every purpose of yours, every good purpose. Lift up the name of Jesus. Glorify Christ. Seek to honor him. Look for sinners to be saved. Look for saints to be edified. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, says Paul, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I look at the modern assemblies, as I read their books and hear their lectures and so on, what are they looking for? Are they looking for this? What are they glorying? What are they boasting about? Their budgets, their numbers? Or are they resting in this? This is the New Covenant Assembly. This is the apostolic desire. This is the apostolic encouragement. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to experience. Oh, unbeliever, that you could be converted and come into all this for your own benefit and for the glory of Christ. But particularly I address every child of God. Don't be cast down, my friend. Don't be dispirited. Go on. Go labor on. Spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Master's will. He will glorify you. And he will use you. And may he use every good purpose of yours by his Spirit, so that it all may be for the glory of God in and through our Lord Jesus Christ.